Hayes Travel Plaza developer seeks an incentive package from the city of Hayes worth over $16 million. Doug Williams from Grow Hayes stops by to talk about that and more on this edition of the Post Podcast. Had an exciting meeting last night at the Hayes City Commission, right? You were there.
I was there. I don't know that it was all that exciting, but it was interesting.
Well, I know, and we talked just briefly as kind of as you were walking in, but I know that headline that's on Hayes Post right now, $16.8 million incentive package.
Right.
That sounds exciting.
Well, it is exciting, and the whole project is exciting. You know, the common misunderstanding, perhaps, is what that $16.8 million incentive package really consists of, because it's a TIF, tax incremental financing, CID, which is a community incentive district. And those two methods are what developers used to try and recapture some of the infrastructure that they spend putting in a project like this. This is roughly a $40 million project, and $16 million plus in infrastructure will go in there in water, sewer, roads, all the things that have to happen. The city of Hayes has a pay-as-you-go policy, which means that they don't float the bonds or anything else. The developer has to pay for those costs up front, and then they're able to recoup some of those costs through these two methods of incentives, one of them being a TIF, which allows you to recapture the incremental tax increases that occur on that property. So right now, that piece of land may have a $500 bill for taxes. When fully developed, it's going to have a $300,000 bill. Well, a portion of that can come back to the developer to recoup with some of this infrastructure they put in. The CID is an additional sales tax that is added to any sales that occur at that facility, and those come back to the developer for those, for recoupment of those investments as well. So it's not like the taxpayers of Ellis County or Hayes are handing these people funds. It's money that we don't get now, and it's all incremental or paid by the person who's buying the product. The good news is, if you're the city of Hayes, is that the sales tax is, none of that goes back to the developer. That's all comes to the city, and that's a significant amount of money over the next 20 to 30 years in terms of sales tax generated from that project.
But these are kind of the standard, right? This is how most big projects like that get funded.
So basically all communities do it. The only difference is Hayes is a little bit more conservative in the pay-as-you-go. A lot of communities may bond that debt, those infrastructure costs for the developer. Hayes chooses to make the developer pay as they go, takes a little risk out of the equation for the city, puts more of the risk on the developer's shoulders. And so nothing wrong with that from the city standpoint. We are conservative here, and we have a very well-run and financially sound city. And that's one of the reasons why, is because they don't take an inordinate amount of risk in these things.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And, you know, and going back to the TIF CID thing, you know, you mentioned it's not the local Ellis County. It'll be people that are shopping there. There was one of these that was pretty notable that was passed for Big Creek Crossing, right. 10 years ago now, just for folks that shop there. It strikes me as kind of something, I don't know if most people know this, but there's a transient guest tax. If you go stay in a hotel, you pay an extra tax that goes to just funding something separate rather than, you know, everybody in town paying for a hotel.
That's correct. These are all taxes that are not paid by the taxpayer, but are paid by the user, their use tax. You know, if somebody stays in a hotel, they pay the transient guest tax. And we've all seen that when we go to Kansas City or wherever we go, there's always a transient guest tax that's added to our bill. In some places, it gets very high. I think here it's about 7%, but I've been to places where it's 18 to 20% in some of the big cities. But that's the way the CID works. It's paid by the person who's buying the product or service. The TIF is a little bit different. That's the incremental tax increase. The only real risk on the part of a community and on doing a TIF is that you're betting that somebody will come in and develop that property without incentives. If that happened, yes, the community would get those tax revenues from those whatever was developed there. But I can assure you that that very small chance of that happening, particularly when the development costs are as high as they are to try and get utilities underneath the interstate and that type of thing. So it's really a low risk, low cost way for development to occur in a city. And the other benefits far outweigh any of the risk you take by losing some long-term revenues from those things. And in 20 years, it's a long time, I realize, but in 20 years, you're going to be collecting full taxes, property taxes on that development.
Yeah, I mean, that all makes perfect sense. Thinking about that, the 16 point, how I was trying to look here on the
16.8.
I mean, that sounds huge, but again, that's really not, when you're talking about a $40 million project plus, it's really not that big an ask.
Well, it's a lot of money without a doubt. And, you know, relative to the project, it's a fair percentage of that. But I look at it at what it does for other development opportunities in that area. Once that infrastructure is in place, once those businesses are in place, what else is going to happen up there? There's a lot of positive things. You know, I've talked before about when they finally put the water and sewer underneath the interstate on Vine Street. You know, this was not all that long ago. And then you had Walmart, Applebee's, Home Depot, all of those businesses came along. The Lewis auto dealership reconstructed and that kind of thing once those utilities were there. So, you know, it is a little bit of the if you build it, they will come kind of concept. But those infrastructure investments pay dividends for a long, long time.
Well, yeah, and you saw that, or if you go through Salina, you see that huge development that has happened on their north side of their interstate, because that was not even 20 years ago.
Right.
Those were fields.
Right.
And I mean, it was pretty similar here, but now it's just, I mean, it's massive. There's all kinds of business up there.
There is, and we'll see a lot of that, both, I think, in the long-term commercial as well as residential development north up there at that one exit 157. Stop. I talked to the developer, was here last night, and I visited with him a little bit, and they are very excited about their projections for sales of fuel and that type of thing there, and they're getting a lot of interest from other potential occupants on those, you know, whether it be hotels or restaurants or retail. They've got a lot of people looking out there, so it's going to be a really exciting development.
You know, I have to ask, and I didn't at all prep you for this, so hopefully this is something you are willing to speak on, but what does it do? I know Hayes has a push to redevelop the interior, you know, the downtown Hayes Development Corporation. Sarah Bloom comes in, talks to us all the time, and I know you guys are good partners, but what does that do to the development happening in town when so much is happening to the north side of Hayes?
Well, I think you're talking about businesses that serve two different markets. You know, clearly, that the truck stop travel plaza is going to serve primarily the traveler. There'll be some local business that goes out there, but it's primarily the traveler that we rarely see downtown. Yeah, we draw some of them downtown. We try to, and we've got a great downtown. But I think it's two different segments that we're getting there. And the real challenge, I believe, and the opportunity is that we're not capturing a lot of those travelers right now. And so that's a piece of business that's just driving right on by in many cases. And so we've got an opportunity here to capture some of that. And then maybe they stop, maybe they stay overnight, maybe they go downtown. You know, they read in the hotel about shops downtown or what have you, and they go downtown and they spend some time and money in that area. So I think that they're two different things. I don't think one is necessarily takes away from the other. I think they're complementary. There may be individual cases where you could say, well, hey, a business went out there instead of staying downtown. But I don't see many cases like that at all.
Well, to me, this sounds like just a win-win-win then. We're getting the taxes. We're getting the extra business. We're getting the extra jobs. We're getting the development north of Vine. I don't see how anybody could be against this.
I don't either. I'm sure there are people who are against it, but I don't see any losers in this. I think it's going to be very positive. And along with some of the other things going on in town, I just think it's a great time right now.
I love it. We want to shift to a little bit something different. Well, I mean, it kind of builds into this, but you're going to have a growing rural business class coming up, which talks about, you know, something like this as well, right?
Well, we are. It's kind of a follow-on to our Think Like an Entrepreneur class we did last summer. This is an 8-week course conducted by Wichita State University instructors. It'll be held at Brief Space starting February 13th from 5:30 to 8:30 every Thursday for 8 weeks. Really good class. Any business owner that is out here in Western Kansas needs to think about attending this because it'll be some great ideas and will help anybody who's in business or thinking about getting into business from this class. We'll receive a lot of benefit from it.
And we've talked before about this, but entrepreneurship in these rural areas is really becoming, you know, kind of a staple of how these smaller town economies are running, right?
Absolutely. It's critical to our growth and our continued sustainability, really. It's more and more difficult all the time, particularly, you know, we talk about workforce all the time, to think that we're going to recruit a large company in here that needs a lot of employees is pretty much a long shot. Love to, but I just don't know who it's going to be and who's going to come in here when we've got 2% unemployment. So we have to really stay focused on creating businesses, which is what entrepreneurship is all about, as well as trying to help our existing entrepreneurs and business owners grow, and then keeping the people here that, try and keep the kids here to understand that, hey, there are opportunities here instead of having to go to the city or someplace else. So it is critical.
And then that money stays spent locally.
Sure.
You earn it. So, you know, in my world, I'm thinking about, you know, writing maybe online or, you know, even, well, I work for Hayes Post. That's what we do. It's all online.
Right.
But we're drawing in advertising from a region and then spending it locally. Well, I generally spend my money locally.
We try to as much as you can, hopefully.
Yeah.
And those dollars turn over again and again and again. So local employees buy homes, they buy gasoline, they buy clothing and that kind of thing. And so it's all important that we retain as many people here as we can and grow the businesses that we have and start new ones, just like the Travel Plaza and what's going on out there.
Absolutely. Well, I was thinking smaller scale, but sure.
Either way. And there could be some small businesses out there.
I mean, I know we've had even some here from Eagle that have left over the years that basically got into a freelance kind of gig where they're doing what they did here or something related and just doing it out on their own and making a pretty successful life for themselves.
Sure. So technology allows remote work without a doubt. I saw a lady in the grocery store the other day, and I asked her what she was doing, and she said she does reservations for Disney. And from her house here, she does reservations at the restaurants at Disney World.
Wow.
And they call in, and she makes reservations. She said occasionally she'll even get somebody from Hayes that calls in the Disney reservation line and makes a reservation for lunch at one of the properties. And so it's a brave new world. You can work about any place depending on the type of job.
Absolutely. And again, that's money that, you know, she's siphoning it from Florida. Not that I've got anything against Florida.
They've got enough.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got a booming economy and a growing population out there, and they don't have some of the same struggles that we have in Western Kansas. And we can pull some of that back to here and spread it amongst ourselves.
Sure. And I think those companies find the work ethic in the Midwest to be very good. That's why they like to hire people here. A lot of people that leave here do very well in other places, but by the same token, these companies recognize that if they can hire the right person and locate them out here because they don't want to move, it can work.
And what's the difference, whether you're sitting in a cubicle in you know, downtown Tallahassee, or you're sitting at your, you know, little desk that you've set up in your kitchen here in Hayes, Kansas? If you're answering the phone, you know, you wouldn't know.
You got it. Computer and the phone.
Exactly. Well, Doug, we've got about 2 minutes left. Anything else you want to try to get in before we go?
Well, I would like everybody on the Growing Rural Business, I invite them to go to our website and click on the link. It has more information about the class, a little video about the class, and they can actually sign up. So check that out. Also, watch our website for future announcements for our Pitch It events. We're kind of setting our schedule for 2020. It is 2020 now, so it's time to look at dates for our pitch-it events, our trispective events, our quarterly luncheons. We're going to get our calendar all complete on that. I would ask everybody to watch our website for those as well and our Facebook page, because we're going to be having those events again, and they're always fun and informative for sure.
Very good. What is that website?
www.growhaze.com.
Perfect. And if they want to come talk to you in person?
We're at Brief Space, 219 West 10th. We'd love to have people drop by.